It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Phil, how are you?
Morena, very good, thanks, Rachel. It's always good to have a long weekend.
It is, it's lovely.
I did get a wee bit of time off over the weekend, which is pretty unusual, so...
good on you.
Yeah.
A cold one for it, but at least it's a break nonetheless. Bit of sunshine yesterday's all good.
Oh, the sunshine on Sunday, I went to the Ardmore Air Show, which was really great.
Oh, cool.
You know, took my young granddaughter along. She's only two and a half. But I already wanted to be a pilot. None of this.
Does she get a say in that? Does she get a say in that, Phil?
Yes, she makes her own mind up. But you know, you can plant these seeds in her mind. You know, two and a half, not too young to start.
Fair enough. Hey, let's start by talking a little bit about the budget this morning. So obviously the government announced their budget last week, and in that they've also said that Auckland City Rail Link is going to receive $500 million. What's that going to mean for the light rail that's happening in Auckland? Is that going to speed up the process a little bit?
Yeah, look, the process is taking longer than I wanted. I mean, the big sum they put in was the $1.4 billion towards the City Rail Link, which is heavy rail, to meet the increased costs on that site. Light rail, they, I think, sensibly are delaying any suggestion that there'd be light rail out to the northwest to Te Aritu, because I think that should be by busway initially. And according to our business case, that could be converted to light rail in maybe 15, 20 years. But the light rail we really want is the light rail that goes from here to Mount Roskill, then across through Onehunga and to Mangere, and then on to the airport. And that's taking longer than I would like. That was part of my commitment to do that. It was also in the government's election commitment. They are looking at alternative funding mechanisms, and they are looking at different ways of doing it. Now, that's a couple of months behind where they should be on that.
Right.
And we know, look, the key reason for having light rail, particularly up to Mount Roskill in the first instance, is that we now have bus congestion on many of those roads. We can't, even with the double deckers, we can't fit more buses. We've got 146 buses an hour on Simon Street, and literally during peak hour, you cannot fit more buses on the road than that.
No.
So the case we've always put to government is... the only way we can deal with that, utilising existing roadway, is to have light rail, and the government agrees with that, and we just want them to get on and do it. So, you know, every time I meet with the Minister of Transport, I say, tell us what the update on light rail is, and you know, the answer is there's paper going to Cabinet. Well, we want that paper before Cabinet. We want the approval. We want the work to start. The government won't meet its initial objectives of making substantial progress by next year, but we need to know what the final plan, the final route, and the funding mechanism is. Now, government is paying for that 100%. That was part of what we negotiated. So I'm very relaxed about that, because that's probably worth about $3 or $4 billion. Part of that funding was already in the Auckland Transport Alignment plan. But, you know, we need the City Rail Link, and we absolutely do need the light rail. And those are things that are both critical to decongesting Auckland as our population continues to grow by 40,000 people a year.
Exactly. So the City Rail Link project is New Zealand's largest transport infrastructure project.
Yep.
It's set to be completed in 2024. Do you think that's still a realistic target?
That's what the City Rail Link Limited tell me, that they are on track to do that. They've let the main contract, which is what's called the C3 and the C7, which is for the lines and the stations. And the most important thing that we did, and Council decided to do this earlier this year, and it's about $250 million extra, is to future-proof it. It was planned, it was a bit like the Harbour Bridge. You know, four lanes will be fine. 8 years later, we've got eight lanes. You can't do that with a tunnel. If you don't build it the right size, it's a tunnel around the stations, actually. It's the length of the stations, underground
right.
stations.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can't do it without closing the whole line down for a couple of years. So we are now catering for 54,000 people, passenger movements an hour at peak instead of 36. And that was absolutely critical to future-proof it. So, we made that decision before they've started the work on the areas regarding the station. So we did it in a timely way. We've also put another $300 million in contingency for rising costs into it. And the other half billion dollars is in the cost escalations that have occurred right across Australasia and the in the you know, the 4 years or 5 years since the original estimates were made.
All right.
So the government's put the money in. We've put the money in. It's on. So, excuse the pun. It's on track, and
you know, that was quite a shocking pun. I'm going to put that as a purveyor of terrible puns myself. That was not a good one.
It's done for a long weekend. You've got to forgive me.
Exactly. I'll forgive you for that one. Thanks, Phil. Though that's really good to hear, and I mean, it's good that there's more money being pledged towards this, because I think light rail is something a lot of Aucklanders are very keen to see happen quickly. We'd also like to chat a bit about today the Building Act review. So Auckland Council's been pushing for all homes to be accessible in the Building Act review. So that's all new homes being made more accessible for people with mobility needs. And this has been put forward to the government. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, well, look, about 1 in 10 people have disabilities, and that as our population ages, that's going to increase. And if you retrofit a house to be wheelchair friendly, it's hugely expensive. So you need to do it in the first instance, and the figures that I received were actually were reasonably modest in terms of the overall cost of the house. I mean, you're still talking in upwards of $12,000-$15,000, I think, from memory, that the figures that we were given. We met with the three ministers, Phil Twyford, Carmel Cipollone, and Jenny Salesa, and they were interested in the submission we were making on that. And they agreed that we need to have a more disability friendly planning structure for our buildings, not just the public buildings, but actually even the basic things of a house, so that you don't just have steps into the house, but you have an access, a path, a sloping path, so that you've got wheelchair access. We're not talking about putting lifts into two-story houses. Talking about, if you have somebody with a disability, if it's a if it's one member of a family, you'd want a downstairs bedroom and facilities, etc. So they were keen on looking further at that, and that's part of the submission that we're making on the Building Act. But there's a whole lot of other things in the Building Act that we want. If I can just touch on one of them, it's close to my heart. We're spending, as a council, which means Auckland residents and ratepayers are paying it, $600 million on weather tightness, because you had poor building products and poor building design and poor builders. And when you go to compensate the people who've got a leaky home, where are the builders? They've liquidated. They're nowhere to be found. Where does the cost come back on the body that's still in existence, the council that does the consenting process? And we're pushing for a proportionate liability rather than us having to meet the cost of shoddy building work.
Does this mean though that it's great that they're putting it into these new houses that are going to be built, but does this mean that it's kind of ruling out fixing up old and existing houses so that they're more accessible, or is that still on the cards as well?
That's only done on an individual person by person case, and it's funded, I think, sometimes through probably Department of Social Development.
Right.
But if you talk about retrofitting, the costs are just enormous. You need wider doorways, you need ramp entry, and one or two other things. So yeah, you've just got to look at what you can afford to do. And our argument to government on the disability side was, well, a whole lot more people are going to need this in the course of their lifetime, and why don't we look at fitting them as we construct buildings, because a building's going to be there for 80 or 90 years.
Yeah.
Do it at the start.
Do it all at the beginning.
Do it properly. Yeah.
Well, it definitely seems to make sense in a financial and a logical decision making as well. So I hope that we see some action on that from the government soon. So
yeah. Well, they were certainly positive about the approach we made to them. We had a discussion, and we had people there from the disability community, and they were very persuasive in terms of what the need was in New Zealand. So the government is certainly going to go the next step of doing more work on it to develop its feasibility, and hopefully that will be done in the course of the re-examination of the Building Act and the Building Code.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Phil. Have a lovely, lovely day. Thanks for chatting to us this morning.
Yeah,
lovely short week, exactly. We'll speak to you next week.
Okay, thanks, Rachel.
Bye, cheers.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.